SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good post-Breeders' Cup Monday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. Listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. Back from the week at Louisville. Weekend that pretty much delivered everything you could possibly have wanted. I suppose we could have used a couple more big prices. We had really everything you could want. Weather cooperated finally at the last possible minute. The racing, the stories, the individual horses, everything that we built up and looked toward delivered. I don't know. I think it was the most satisfying set of races and afternoons that you could hope for. Certainly Saturday. After Friday delivered a very nice concept. The juvenile day, the Future Stars Friday, juvenile showcase. It worked out very well, and lots to look forward to out of those horses. Male and female, turf and dirt. But it was Saturday that ended up dawning sunny and bright and beautiful. And then as the day went on, it just got more and more delightful. And with each passing race and as the drama built toward the end of the day, it really, anything that was lacking, anything that felt, you know, a little bit sedate and relaxed, you could really feel the day gaining momentum toward that late pick four, the mile, the distaff, the turf, and the classic. And as I grapple with which horse and which moment to open the discussions with, it's very difficult. I suppose, given, you know, the nature of the event, the nature of the Breeders' Cup, that you have to start with the classic. And the classic closed out a very interesting series of years, really, when you think about John Sadler and the frustrations of going winless in the Breeders' Cup with starters. And the one that is probably most parallel to it, Bobby Frankel's 33 starters before a win, and Sadler's day which had certainly in the mile Catapult's performance was very nice and had to be heartening after Catalina Cruiser just ran just kind of a dullish and ordinary race in the dirt mile. Accelerate delivered on the promise and delivered on the anticipation that Costa Aronis and John Sadler had for him, culminating a season that is just outstanding. And you cannot, it's going to promote a real difficult conversation about Horse of the Year. And it's already, that conversation has already begun. It began about, before Accelerate had gotten back to the winner's circle. But Joel Rosario, who had pretty much wrote about this on Saturday for the in the analysis. Didn't Joel Rosario provide a template for Accelerate's trip? Didn't he pretty much do it on Friday with Game Winner? That if he wanted to have a game plan for an approach in this classic, we talked for weeks about what was going to happen when all of these horses with similar running styles came together in the classic. That was the, you know, that was the storyline. Who was going to be able to adjust? Who could rate? And to a large degree, this came up going into the weekend. You could think back to Rosario's ride on Practical Joke in the Derby and how he used the length of the stretch, you know, from the mile and a quarter shoot gate at Churchill to somehow find his way to the rail. Now, that didn't happen per se with Accelerate. He was still a good 3.5 path, about 3.5, 4, somewhere between the 3 and 4 path into the turn. But he was certainly comfortable. And you could see on the backstretch, as various things were happening up front, Mendelsohn grabbed that lead as speculated. McKinsey aggressive with Mike Smith early. Thunder Snow, West Coast, you had exactly the horses, other than Catholic Boy, who had a rough beginning and never had a chance to find his rhythm. And that, you know, that's going to happen in 14 horse fields. So Catholic Boy was the one horse that wasn't involved, and not that limited the pace, because they went in 22-3, 46-2, 110-3. So 3/5 of the way through, you had really a standard solid pace. It wasn't breakneck and it wasn't slow. And everybody had a chance. I mean, that it was perfect. From that standpoint, anybody that was going to run their A race was going to get their chance. And it's really evidenced, if you haven't looked at the chart, it's really evidenced there. But it was Joel Rosario who had an exceptional, he didn't win the Shoemaker Award, that went to Herat Ortiz on points. But you kind of feel like Rosario had the best, he might not have won the Shoemaker, but he feels like he had the best Breeders' Cup among the riders. Herat was gunning home on Gunavera, who ran terrific to be second, gets by Thunder Snow late, but it was Rosario's timing. You could see on the backstretch that Accelerate was traveling as comfortably or more comfortably than anybody. And this was, I said this on, with Seth Merrow yesterday. We were driving back, and Seth was on the show with the Capital OTB show, which we do, you know, pretty much every year, the recapping. And this was one of those circumstances where at the top of the stretch, if your horses or your horse isn't going to win, you pick somebody that you want to win. And that was John Sadler and Costa Aronis. And we actually made what it turned out to be, I thought, for Tina and I, a great choice. Rather than watching it on the track apron, we pretty much had watched everything from, you know, down in the chute and, you know, down around near the winner's circle around the track, made the decision to watch from the paddock. And that was perfect. That, you know, I knew that Baffert would watch from there. He always watches the Derby from there and races that he's involved in. But John Sadler was there too. And being able to watch the reaction of John Sadler, and I got what I think is a fabulous picture. Baffert came immediately over to hug him and congratulate him, which was really nice. And Bodie, so did Bodie. Bodie came running up and shook John Sadler's hands and said, you know, congratulations, Mr. Sadler. Really, really well done. But this was one of those races where you looked up and you see, for me, you see Accelerate where he is. And when he strikes the front, and there's horses that are rallying and you know, Thundersnow plugged away and you know, stayed on really well. But I just found myself cheering Accelerate home. And really a wonderful outcome and a really nice ending to the 2 days. Gunnevera, terrific job by Ed DeRosa. Ed, and I don't know if Ed, you know, if he bet Gunnevera, you know, the way in which he could have hooked up everything on either side, but, you know, Ed loved Gunnevera coming in. Nick, I know, used him. Nick ended up, I think, 13th or 16th? 13th or 16th in the BCBC. We're going to hear from Chuck Grubbs, the BCBC winner. Chuck made a late move and wins. Ryan Muller was literally wire to wire going into the late stages. He finished fourth. He had a terrific BCBC, but the late wagers, we'll find out what they were. Chuck Grubbs, another professional gambler, another professional horse player, comes from the harness side. He's a Central Ohio origin and plays at the Red Mile. He's Mike Maloney is in that group of players that work out of the Red Mile, and we'll find out about Chuck, how he won the BCBC. But Nick with a, he must have had a little bit of something because Nick had been, I think Nick was on his heels early and then made a steady advance and ends up in the teens. So we'll hear from Nick later in the week. But Gunnevera second in here at 30, almost 31 to 1. And I mentioned the chart. It's fascinating. Accelerate wins was sitting fifth, basically, through the first half of the race. Gunnevera was 11th through the first half of the race. Thundersnow was sitting fourth, third through the first half. Yoshida, plugging away, came with a steady advance. He was 12th early. Mendelson held on for fifth, the last big check, and he was on the lead, of course. And Lone Sailor was sixth, who was last early. So I just thought it was, I thought it was really interesting about how the pace was exactly moderate, right in the middle, not fast, not slow, honest. And you had literally the top half of the, not even the top half, I mean virtually the entire chart alternates from horses that participated in the pace and horses that came from off the pace. This was a textbook perfect storm, really, of the running of a mile and a quarter classic race. And can't wait to talk to John Sadler. Can't wait to talk to Costa Aronis, one of the most deserving and wonderful owners in the game that, you know, has been on with us before and has had so much success. And he and the family, you know, to win a race like this, and of course their loyalty to John Sadler and all the things that they've accomplished together. And potential for a horse of the year. We'll save that. We'll save that argument. And when I say argument, it's not just going to be an argument. It's going to be a Donnybrook, frankly, the Justify versus Accelerate conversation. And it brings in to play so many of the things about the sport and the industry and that are, you know, that are the themes that we deal with week in, week out, year in, year out. you know, the three-year-old, the glamour division, the older horses. There's so much. And obviously there's so much for us to grapple with about the weekend. I chose to start with the Accelerate story. And as tremendous as it is, and the culmination of his season, five grade ones, the star of the show, the moment that will stay with people particularly, was produced by Enable. And that's really undeniable. The first ARC winner to win a Breeders' Cup Turf, a filly that is clearly something remarkable and astounding. And, of course, Gosden and Judmont and Frankie Dettori had already taken bows an hour earlier in the mile with Expert Eye. And I didn't add up the Frankie Dettori points for the Shoemaker Award, but boy, Frankie Dettori, with those three E's, as Nick Luck talked about, Enable, Expert Eye, and Azira. And, you know, Azira, that outpost cost her her best chance, and she ended up, I think, sixth and ran well, but a little too much to deal with from the 14 hole on that turn, literally starting the filly and mare turf on the turn. But when it came to Enable, all of the discussion and the anticipation and speculation, including the turf issues and her third off the layoff, essentially, and the cold watering by John Gosden, the uncertainty, and against a lot of the question of her preparedness when it came to the ARC, she absolutely soldiered through, and then came here, and it was pretty evident, at least, you know, listening to Dettori and Gosden before and after, particularly, it became evident that she didn't necessarily love this going either. And yet, she's able to not just win. She wins magical with a terrific effort. And Aidan O'Brien, of course, in the Coolmore, the lads, they did not have the best Breeders' Cup in memory. They get some decent efforts, but they come away without any floral blankets. Magical ran very well in here, and the three-year-old filly, she's got a big future. Enable's future is up in the air, and I'm sure we'll talk to Garrett O'Rourke this week. I probably should try to get Gosden on too. The performance of her coming down the middle of the track and Dettori staying busy on her, holding her together, and basically, you know, maintaining a lead and holding Magical, not that she probably could see her by that point down inside, but holding her safe. Enable, to me, was really just a hair on the back of the neck moment. One of those moments from the history of this event that will stand the test of time, and then some. This will be one of those indelible Breeders' Cup moments. Saddler's Joy, the line of the Breeders, there were a few lines of the Breeders' Cup, I suppose. One of the great lines was Tom Albertrani, whose expression never changes. Albertrani comes down, and he had a bit of a, kind of a mirthful look on him, a little bit of a kind of a half smirk, half smile, and he said, Anthony Stavile was waiting to interview him for HRRN, and he said to both of us, he said, "Well, We beat all the boys. And it's really a fair point. Saddler's Joy. There were no male runners that finished in front of him. Very much what we had anticipated for Saddler's Joy, and he ends up being a fabulous tri-key, and that's, you know, that this was the perfect spot, the reverse tri-key, 37-1, and I know some people. I saw where Mike Adams gate the wire. I think Mike went to town on the reverse tri-key, and we got exactly what we were looking toward for Saddler's Joy's performance. Arklow too. How about you, those of you that played supers? Scully. You know, Scully pushing Arklow as a late runner that would pick up a piece, 53-1 for fourth. So, I mean, Enable and Magical, and Waldgeist ended up fifth in here. So, you know, literally only Robert Bruce, and he didn't run badly. He just ended up sort of seventh and kind of, you know, never really moved and kind of probably ran like a horse that didn't love the going. And, you know, basically the top five horses, or at least four of the five horses, Arklow, a little bit of an outsider, but, you know, with that potential maybe to clunk up and get a share, you pretty much, you know, had a, you know, and this was true throughout the whole cup. You know, the horses that you would have anticipated, they came through. And for the most part, you know, you could zero in on the key players and you did all right. It didn't, you know, we didn't have some of the fireworks. We had some high-priced horses that invaded exotics, but for the most part, the horses that you thought most about, you didn't necessarily build your tickets, you know, perfectly. Obviously, it's impossible with this event. But I thought that the 2 days gave everybody a real good chance to succeed. That was one of the themes. Stick here for a while and you know, touch on as much of this before our first break and our first guest. Andy Beyer is going to join us in the next half hour, by the way, and we'll get Andy's interpretation, most notably about, you know, how he had to make figures, and there was some real challenge to that, and there's a couple of numbers that, you know, people kind of raised eyebrows, including the turf sprint. And Andy will explain how he made them. And you know, the turf sprint, you had a phenomenal pair of performances up front. I mean, Stormy Liberal and Peter Miller, talk about, you know, touch on a few other themes. You know, Peter Miller repeating with Roy H. And Stormy Liberal is an unbelievable accomplishment. Just remarkable. And the World of Trouble, Stormy Liberal performances, the two of them extending each other to, what, eight length in front of Disco Partner? You know, Disco Partner, his form, and Ruby Notion, fourth. You got to, you know, not that difficult to understand how the two exacta horses in that turf sprint, how they, you know, performed at that level. But absolutely, Peter Miller's performance. Chad Brown with the two winners. Sister Charlie in a thriller with Wild Illusion in the filly and mare turf. Could have been either one of them. There were a couple of finishes in that realm that included the mile win, and it felt like, as you watch, there were, you know, any number of horses, including Analyze It. Speaking of Chad Brown, I mean, obviously, Newspaper of Record did what she was anticipated to do. One of the best performances, obviously, maybe the best performance in that division. A lot of people reminiscent of Lady Eli. Well, this, a lot of people basically concluding that she's better, Newspaper of Record's better now than Lady Eli was at two. Lady Eli will sell later today at Keeneland. We'll talk about last night's unbelievable fireworks at Fasig Tipton. The starry evening that included Lady Aurelia selling for $7.5 million. We'll get to that. But in the late stages of that terrific mile, you had Analyze It looking like he was dropping out. Here came Catapult, Drayden Van Dyke, who had a tremendous Breeders' Cup, including his first win with Stormy Liberal. And, of course, he got his first Churchill win on Improbable for Baffert on Friday in the street sense. That was a big performance, by the way. But any one of four horses, it looked like even five with the late arriving One Master, the horse that had been on the rail, had been down inside. But you ended up with Expert Eye emerging late, and you could tell that he was sweeping by. And Frankie Dettori with just vintage Dettori ride. You wouldn't have given a nickel for Expert Eye's chances at the top of the stretch. And it basically made the last move, and it made a winning move. Oscar Performance was out of it. Not even a jump into the race. Absolutely broke, flat-footed, and that was it. And I know Brian Lynch had been considering scratching him because of the turf, and probably disappointed that he didn't go ahead and take him out, because undoubtedly when Oscar Performance walked onto that turf course, and I know people are questioning about how good the course was. If you listen to Marcus Hirsch, Marcus talked to the Europeans. He walked the course. There were Europeans with the depth sticks checking how deep the course was. And Marcus and the Euros, they all said surprisingly good. Does that mean it was firm? No, obviously. It was soft in spots, and undoubtedly some horses sunk down in it more than others. But Oscar Performance, when he broke bad, that was it. And it gave Analyze It every opportunity to wire. And I think Rad Ortiz and Chad Brown had made that commitment going in anyway. We discussed this. It was the way in which Analyze It could win. And ran a tremendous race. Divisadero and Javian Toledo, fourth in here in the mile, and I thought Toledo in his first Breeders' Cup from a nearly impossible post, wearing the 15 cloth and leaving from the 13, did a terrific job. Wasn't going to be able to save any ground, and picked a couple of good spots to advance and give Divisadero a chance. And Divisadero did look about mid-stretch like he had a shot, like a real shot, and ended up fourth in here. Very nice for Kelly Rubley and Javian Toledo making their first Breeders' Cup starts. And you might not have noticed, but Clemmy from the 14 post, the 16 cloth, ended up sixth in here. And she's going to stay in North America. There's a few horses that are staying in North America. So there you go. The late pick four. We'll talk to Brad Cox at some point too today. And Monomoy Girl, what can you say? Once again, from the outside post, just as she was outposted in the Kentucky Oaks. Amazing. 6 months later, comes back, and another Tour de Force effort. Florent Giroux rides her with confidence, and everything else that was going on behind her, including Abel Tasman's basically packing it in with really no resistance. And early on in the race, you could tell she had to be asked by Mike Smith to get involved, and there's a lot of conversation to be had about what happened to bring it back up again. A lot of the things that we floated. The confrontation of Abel Tasman and Elate, that may have just been the swan song. What happened there in the personal ensign, their absolute knockdown drag out that hit KO to late completely, obviously took a toll on Abel Tasman as well. And whether she had, you know, gotten a little bit of the bug that was in the Baffert barn this fall, it seems immaterial. I think everything can be traced back to that personal ensign. And frankly, you know, this whole the discussion point I had about Baffert bringing horses back to Breeders' Cups, I wrote a thing up at Derby Trail, talked about it again last week. This is yet two more horses that did not advance at all from their effort the year before. There's only one horse that notably was able to duplicate his effort out of the Baffert barn. That was Midnight Loot in 2007 and 2008, and there were certainly questions about him coming in to that sprint in 08. And technically, Secret Circle certainly didn't run badly. It won in 2013 and was second the next year. But everybody else, Arrogate, from first in 16, fifth in 17. Drafong wins the sprint in 16, sixth in 17. Fedbiz never really, three tries in the dirt mile, never was competitive. Game On Dude went from second to seventh to ninth. Indian Blessing, she did okay. She won the Juvenile Fillies. She was a good second in the Filly and Mare sprint the next year. But looking at Lucky, second in 09 in the Juvenile, fourth in the Classic. Silver Bullet Day won the Juvenile Fillies, sixth in the Distaff the next year. 30 Slews won the sprint in 92, but fourth in 93. So this has been a tough spot for Baffert. Bringing them back the next year, and the Juvenile to three is a little bit of a different entity. But we'll see. McKinsey really didn't offer much resistance late. Should mention a couple of the other players, by the way. But Mind Your Biscuits kind of had a little bit, got a little bit of trouble early, but no real excuse, and just did not. It never really got into position to strike. May start one more time. Discreet Lover rallied to be eighth. Axelrod made a little move and then flattened out. Roaring Lion, a disaster. That was telegraphed. Frankly, him getting wet and not looking comfortable really at any point in his trip to Churchill, doesn't take away from him having had an outstanding season. A couple of pieces there. The rest of the action, so much to absorb and recap. Shamrock Rose, the big price, and certainly, got to thank Marty McGee. We had that wonderful review of the Filly and Mare sprint with him. We went top to bottom. Anonymity, who we had talked about, and Mandela's insistence of trying this spot. Mike Smith, I thought, Marley's Freedom, she ran fine, but you can't lose that kind of ground. I mean, there was the risk of losing some ground, but she was eight wide. I mean, she's eight wide. She lost by two heads and a neck. She lost by less than a length in that blanket finish. Chalon ran too good to lose. But it was Shamrock Rose in a brilliant ride by Arad Ortiz. That was unbelievable. And let's be honest, he also got a little lucky. A couple of different places where he waited and made a decision. He almost went outside at one point off the turn, and he stayed where he was, and that paid off. And then he was ready to make a decision, and he waited again for another beat, and a seam opened, and she exploded. Shamrock Rose and the Conrads. And I felt badly that Mrs. Conrad couldn't be there. We'll talk to Mark Cassie probably tomorrow. The Stormy Liberal, World of Trouble. Absolutely one of the real thrillers. And 7-1 on the repeat winner. Awfully good. Looking forward to the conversation with Michael McCarthy and City of Light, who gave one of the best performances, obviously, of the whole weekend. Was spectacular from a tricky post. And Javier Castellano beautifully handling City of Light, gaining position and then giving him a breather and then throttling everybody. Seeking the Soul with a good rally. And I had mentioned with Sid, Fernando, it's funny that I ran into Dallas. Dallas said, we're going to win that. And 10-1, good second in there. Bravazo, very quietly, I don't know how much everybody's had a chance to dig through all the charts, but Bravazo ended up third in here. And that was a good performance. Firenze Fire fought hard, but just had to cruise home fourth. Sister Charlie, Wild Illusion. We talked the best, really one of the better thrilling stretch drives. Raving Beauty ran good in there and taking the lead when the other Chad did not get away sharp and whatever pace setting was supposed to happen. And Roy H., with a terrific performance, and I was wrong It's funny. I was wrong on Peter Miller, but it wasn't a conscious decision to not use Stormy Liberal and Roy H. prominently. Used in a few places Roy H. as a B, but Stormy Liberal. I don't know. I that was really one race where when I made final determinations, I didn't abandon completely the. The concept, I had a lot of confidence in Vision Perfect and World of Trouble and or running well, and certainly World of Trouble ran just, as game a race as possible. One of those, ran too good to lose. But Roy H., Paco Lopez with his first Breeders' Cup win. So Peter Miller spreading the joy around, and certainly for owners Gary Hartunian, Rockingham Ranch, and Brian Trump, and David Burnson, another delirious. They were just as excited this time as they were last year at Del Mar, and they were plenty excited last year, undoubtedly at Del Mar. That was one of the joyous, most joyous celebrations a year ago, and then. As we wrap up the opening recapping, we mentioned game winner. How about Knicks Go? And Ben Colebrook. Knicks Go loomed for a few strides for a good 16th of a mile or more. It looked like he was going to do the same thing he did at Keeneland in the Futurity when he shocked everybody. And Signalman, second to him at Keeneland, came running. A good job by Brian Hernandez Jr. The inside was very good on the main track. And anybody that stayed down on the rail was able to make up ground late. But game winner overpowered this field. And excellent effort. But frankly, John Service, he'll be with us in hour two. His filly, arguably, from a figure standpoint, the time standpoint, just a little bit better. Jaywalk, I don't know where the speed was in here. There was supposed to be a pace, and there was supposed to be, some real grappling for the lead. There was none. None! And if they thought that, letting Jaywalk go like that was somehow that she was going to come back to them, that was not a good strategy for anybody that was pursuing. And of course, nobody wants to necessarily sacrifice their horse. We get that. But Serengeti Empress was supposed to go, Splashy Kisses, Bella Fina. Instead, Joel Rosario on a speed horse? Forget it. Quiet hands, and she totally, you could see it. He just totally relaxed, and that was ridiculous. When she, 46-3, this was over, and she just powered away. What a tremendous performance. And this was a little, you know, certainly was a horse you were using as a B, at the very least. But there was the question. She and Complexity, from the juveniles, they were the two races, that the two horses that you had to, little bit of a stamina referendum. And a cross traffic filly out of an Orientate mare. This was a Gainsway bred. Just $190,000 for Chuck Zachney and the DJ team. So Jaywalk didn't have to jaywalk, actually. More of a cakewalk. Big performance, and I hope that the team quickly made their Oaks table reservations. John Service with fillies. We laugh about it, but his, you know, and of course Smarty Jones was pretty good, but Service with fillies, it's something. And then the other two, we already mentioned Newspaper Record, who was just wonderful and lived up to every expectation. Strong marks for Jamie Spencer, and East for trainer Kevin Ryan. She, from the 14 hole, got up to be second. It was very good. And how about Georgia Bro? Stellar Agent, his first starter in the Breeders' Cup. 71-1, longest shot on the board, gets third. Great job. Manny Franco. Franco actually had a good weekend. Very, you know, very quietly with some, you know, got the most, tried to get the most out of his mounts. Line of Duty and Uncle Benny, and we almost had a Jason Service, John Service double. Uncle Benny ran a whale of a race. Stretched out. He came through the way, you know, a lot of us had, you know, kind of felt. There were three horses here. Anthony Van Dyke, Uncle Benny, and Line of Duty. Felt like those were the three that would get you through. And Line of Duty and Uncle Benny. Line of Duty made really a was well ridden by William Buick. Buick was excited. Uncle Benny just not enough, but ran well. Some Like It Hot Brown, another good effort on the pace, 15-1. If you keyed off of him, he was a good. He ended up being a good. I wasn't crazy about him, but he ended up being a good tri key, bottom, you know, reverse tri key. And then the first race of the weekend, from a Breeders' Cup standpoint, Todd Pletcher. And Bull, this was actually funny because Windstar and the China Horse Club and SF Racing, who've been, you know, really one of the, really the story of the year, they're favorites to probably to them and Seth Klarman vying for owner, but it feels like the Justified team, that was hardly their only success of the year, obviously, and here's another one. But Elliot Walden, kind of funny, because he was kind of anti-juvenile turf sprint, comes walking into the winner's circle. I love the juvenile turf sprint! Bulletin, City Zip. In fact, City Zip had a nice weekend, the late City Zip. And Javier Castellano beat the gate and never looked back. And of course, right before that, Audible had come back with a terrific effort to win. The Cherokee Run, good start to his return to the races. We'll return to At the Races. Let's take a quick break. Andy Beyer next. Johnny D, John Service, BCBC winner, Chuck Rubs, and much, much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent DeSarmo on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
To At the Races with Steve Fick on Sirius XM Radio.
Andy Beyer will join us shortly, and let's wait for Andy for a second. The other Churchill results that easy to gloss over, but how about rocketry on Friday night? And Jimmy Jerkins, his brother was there too, Alan Jr., and rocketry. Rosario again. Terrific performance, and earlier in the day, Van Dyke had gotten his first win at Churchill on that improbable. I mentioned Audible returning, Castellano with the win there, and then to close everything out Saturday night, Divine Miss Gray for Danny Gargan in the Chalukyi, and it was good. It was just a good, pure racing weekend at Churchill Downs. Andy Beyer joins us, as he does virtually every post Breeders' Cup, to kind of digest what we saw and figure out what is always a, there's always a number or two, Andy, that are a little tricky to make, and that squishy turf made for a couple of challenges. Good morning.
Good morning. When we make our numbers, Steve, I mean, there are occasions when I know that people are going to look at a figure and say, well, Byers lost his mind. This is impossible. And I would say to people who have that reaction, you know, when something looks that strange, you can be assured that you know, we have looked at it and thought about it. I mean, you remember a little over a year ago, you know, after Bolton Doro won a super fast prep race for the Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita, and you know, I think any other figure maker would have gave him like a huge, huge number. We, you know, we didn't because it just struck us as a race that you know, that was really phony. I mean, every horse in the field just, you know, magically improved, and I think we were proved right. But I'm not sure if I've got an answer to the figure for the Breeders' Cup turf sprint that will satisfy everybody, but I'm going to try. As you know, I mean, Stormy Liberal, you know, who's a nice horse but not a superstar, I would say, you know, won by a neck over World of Trouble and got a figure of 119, which is the highest we've ever assigned any turf race with, you know, with all the great, you know, grass horses who, you know, who run in the Breeders' Cup over the years. And, you know, I know it seems strange, but here was what happened. First of all, this race, just on the face of it, was extraordinarily fast. They went, you know, 5.5 furlongs in 104, you know, which is like 6 furlongs in 110 and change, compared to, say, the you know, the mile, the turf mile, where the time was just, you know, a dawdling, you know, 139.8. So clearly, the, you know, the time was super fast. Now, this is something that does not, you know, does not force us to make a big figure. In fact, you know, I'm often skeptical of published times, particularly on turf racing, where pace makes such a difference, and a lot of the track's timing systems, you know, are maybe a little suspect. You know, what was persuasive about this race and was really dramatic was the way the whole field finished. I mean, Stormy Liberal and World of Trouble finished 7.25 lengths ahead of all the horses, of the rest of the horses in this field of 14. I mean, that you rarely see gaps like that in a sprint race for good horses. Well, that 7.25 lengths, it translates to 24 points on our figures, and in the, if you look at, just look at the PPs of these horses, every horse in this field would typically, you know, runs a figure of 95 or better, you know, in turf sprints. Well, you know, if even one of them, you know, runs a 95, you know, that's a 24-point gap to the top two, which makes it, you know, the number 119. I could argue that, you know, the preponderance of evidence would say, I mean, the number could have been, you know, well higher than that. Now, this was a soft course, and I guess you could reasonably say that, you know, a lot of the horses didn't like it. I mean, you had some decent horses who just got beat a mile in that race. But some horses were proved soft turf horses. I mean, Ruby Notion, who finished fourth on Saturday, had run at Saratoga on a turf course that was much slower than the one at Churchill Downs. I mean, a stakes race that went in like 106 and change for 5.5 furlongs. And she ran the race of her life with a figure of 100. So she comes back, on the soft course, and being fourth at Stormy Liberal behind the figure of 119, she gets only a 91. So, and in fact, I mean, every horse in the field except for the top two earned a figure that is substantially lower than what they'd been running recently. So when you see that like 12 out of 14 horses are running lower than their norm, I mean, it's a little hard, for me to argue that the figure is too high. I mean, I think what happened is this. In Great Britain, the horse's preference for one sort of going or another is a huge handicapping factor. I mean, some horses like Reasonably Firm or Good Turf, and others are specialists at soft turf. In this country, we almost never run. When the course is like a bog, and so you've got a lot of horses who might potentially like a soft course, but never get to show it. And I think that Stormy Liberal and World of Trouble just both happened to show up on a day where they caught a course that was ideal for them, and they ran the race of their lives and buried everybody else. So I mean that's my explanation, and I believe this figure.
And that was the obvious when the number came up fairly early on Saturday. You turned those around. I saw Dan Illman had put them out, and I knew the minute I saw the number, I knew people would be, oh my God, how can that be right? And it all you had to do was look at a horse like Disco Partner, who's about as consistent and easy to measure as anything. And plus, Andy, whether even though this was on turf, there's no shortage of evidence for your figure making and anybody's when you get two horses that have that kind of a gap and they're basically extending each other down the stretch. I mean, look back to the Personal Ensign and what Elate and Abel Tasman did with Wowcat, who has done nothing but go forward out of that, chasing them home. When there's a big gap between good horses, usually you've seen as something special.
Well, when you get a really huge figure, there is almost inevitably a big gap in the race. And I go back to that Bolt d'Oro race, which if we had accepted the number, it would have been equaled the biggest figure for a two-year-old ever. Well, there were no big gaps. I mean, the horse who finished third, who had only a maiden win at Los Alamitos to his credit, was pretty close to the reasonably close to the top three. And I just don't believe in. Let's say when you see a race and everybody is improving, then there's something wrong with the number. But in this case, where two horses improve and 12 horses don't, I've got to believe it, however implausable it may look at first glance.
Let's touch on a few while we're together. Let's touch on a few of the other performances, and there were some notable efforts that were above par, and that included Enable's effort, par for the Breeders' Cup turf is about 110.7, and she got a 114 in arguably, Andy, I thought, one of the most notable Breeders' Cup races maybe ever. Finally an ARC winner that comes to the U.S. and wins the turf.
You know, it was a super race. And again, I mean, like nine lengths back to, you know, to a field of that quality. I mean, that was huge. And I would also say this about Enable. Now, everybody on TV, all the trainers, all the jocks are saying, oh, you know, the inside, you know, part of the course, you know, was a bog and everywhere we were trying to stay off. Well, I'm not sure about that. How about World of Trouble, who blasted out and was on the inside all the way around the track and managed to run a figure of 118? I mean, I think it's quite, you know, quite possible that you know, that, you know, everybody just got it in their brain that the outside was the place to be. But the trip, and they, I mean, have you ever seen a, I mean, you won't see many horses have wider trips than Enable did. And if you, I mean, if you didn't think that that being like 10 wide you know, was an advantage, and wanted to give her like extra credit for ground loss, that would have been an even more stupendous effort. I mean, I'm really, really glad she showed up for this race and she fired. I mean, it was great to, you know, there, because it was wonderful to see, you know, a great horse deliver. And, you know, in some of the races on Saturday, I thought, you know, we're a little bit anticlimactic, you know, that horses we wanted to see run big didn't.
What was your take on the classic, Andy, thoughts?
Well, you know, the race of the Accelerate and West Coast ran in their prep in California was just undeniably slow and lousy. I mean, there were no ambiguities about the figures, and you know, Accelerate, Accelerate's form clearly declined. I mean, he got a figure of 105 that was a little ambiguous. I mean, it that might have been too generous, but we'll say 105. But that by Breeders' Cup Classic standards is kind of weak. I mean, you obviously have to give him credit for, winning all the races he's run, and he's run some terrific figures and given some dominating performances, but he certainly did not end his 2018 campaign with a flourish. I mean, I think I'll still vote for him for Horse of the Year, but I would have liked to have seen some heroics on Saturday, to justify that vote.
Justify being the operative word.
We could talk about that decision when the Eclipse voting starts, because I mean, it's an interesting issue. Do you credit a horse for winning like three pretty slow races because they happen to be anointed as the Triple Crown? So I don't know.
No, it is going to be a fun debate. Your thoughts on Friday for a minute, because it did seem, particularly the fillies, Jaywalk's effort, out. Pointed and was faster than the boys' effort. She was terrific. John Service is going to join us in a half an hour after Johnny DeSantis. But Bulletin, the juvenile turf sprint winner, the inaugural official Breeders' Cup juvenile turf sprint, was terrific. And where do you place Newspaper of Records' effort, Anthony, in the pantheon? Because she was otherworldly.
Well, it was, I mean, that was the best figure, you know, recorded by a two-year-old in the, equaled the best figure recorded by any two-year-old in the Breeders' Cup on the turf, equaling Lady Eli, which puts her in pretty good company. You know, it was obviously a great race, and I, you know, I read that that Chad Brown is, you know, considering his options, and I mean, with this horse, I mean, don't you? I really hope he takes the horse to Europe for a major race. I mean, that, you know, that, you know, that's a great, to me, that's a great achievement. I mean, does anybody really care about winning the Belmont Oaks? You know, as a fan, I don't care who wins, but to see, you know, to see a U.S. horse, you know, go on, go overseas and take on the Euros at their own game, I mean, that's really exciting, and I hope he'll take the bold course next season.
Well, and that you could kind of read into, you could read into the conversation, and of course, Seth Klarman, I think would be open to it. And you know, Chad,
he's,
I know,
guy who's he's a guy who's rolled the dice a few times. In
yes,
his
just a couple
career,
without a doubt, and will be a finalist, I think, again for Owner of the Year. There's a lot of things to be supportive of Seth Klarman about. The boys race, what was your take on Game Winner looking forward to next year?
I mean, I thought it was good. I mean, he, you know, the fact that, you know, look, I'm a Fig guy, and I would have liked to have, you know, I would have liked to have seen a big number, and it was a little, you know, clearly when, you know, when Complexity, I think, stamped himself as a sprinter who couldn't go that distance, there wasn't really that much competition. But he's pretty good. But I want to see some big numbers from him.
Well, Andy, the numbers always worth the time that we spend coming out of the Breeders' Cup weekend. How'd you fare in the bankroll?
You know, my do or die race was the first race on Friday, I really liked the winner, but I liked him with the Euro, who was who was coming out of that Prix de la Abbey at Longchamp, and I just couldn't put them together. But I thought that the I just thought there was a great intent for the Pletcher horse, you know, who had been in Saratoga working, you know, to ship to the Florida training center, and you know, just get a lowly turf stake under his belt so he could get into the field for the Breeders' Cup. I mean, nobody maneuvers any more shrewdly than Pletcher, and so I love that move, and I just wish I could have made some money on it.
Well, and you're talking about Soldier's Call, who really had, you know, had his race compromised on the break, and yeah. When he had a little bit of trouble and a little tangled beginning and got banged around, he was on the defensive, and it never came together. Kind of got rushed up by O'Shane Murphy, and that wasn't, you know, it's a sprint. If something like that happens, you're in trouble right away.
Yeah. Well, it was an interesting, a very interesting couple days.
No doubt. Andy, always thankful for these conversations, help people understand what they saw, and we'll look forward to that Eclipse vote and some rationale conversation down the road. Thanks so much.
It'll be a good debate. Bye-bye, Steve.
Thanks, Andy. Andy Beyer, everybody, and the big fig in the turf sprint. So you understand how that number was derived and more. Always great to check in with Andy. We do it every year, it seems, after the Breeders' Cup. And Johnny D is going to get his chance to bang the gong and tell you what he scored with and where it went wrong and everything else. A little bit later, John Service. We'll talk to Chuck Grubbs, who won the BCBC, and much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Summer on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.